episode number 141.5, a continuation of the in-studio focus group.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
Well, that's right. We're back at you again 2 days later.
Yeah, we haven't done a part one and part two episode of the podcast
in a while.
So, yeah, that's that. You know, just like we said, this is 141.5 because, well, we've got five of the disciples, not including me, here in the studio.
That's right.
Picking up where we left off on Monday. Well, we covered a lot about the focus group that just happened there at the Milford Proving Grounds. And I guess we'll just kind of continue right along. This is going to be without any voicemails. We'll save those for next week. And no Camaro news because, well, the Camaro news is sitting here in the studio, eh?
Yeah.
So, I guess, you know, got anything you want to start off with in this episode? Anything just off the top of your head?
Now, Jason, you and I had a little bit of a surprise.
We did?
Yeah. We both took a little drive, one after another, and kind of looked at each other and had an aha moment.
Yeah, and I think all the disciples here will agree that... Well, did we specify what exactly we did drive? We said we drove the Iver cars, you know, the cheetahs, as they call it. Did we mention the other car in specific?
I don't think we did.
And we can, right?
I believe we can.
Generically, we can.
Generically, we drove the closest thing to production, not an Iver car, a V6. A manual. And we were all incredibly surprised by that car. That was... the biggest shock, I think, of the weekend is how well that car performed. The whole V6 being underpowered thing, it's gone. It's over.
Yeah,
this V6 has power.
That's
and
gonna
it
make
has
a lot
capability.
Of people happy.
Nice.
I'm still stunned. It's
wow.
been almost 24 hours, and I'm still going, I can't believe how well that car performed. All of us here drove it, right?
Yes.
Tim, you didn't?
It was a stick.
Oh, that, no. We're not going to go there.
Whoa.
Hey, oh, hey, oh.
Sorry, man. He's put it on the board.
Lavoti's just about ready to pop right here. What's everybody's thoughts on that? You want to just pass it around there, Terry? Or?
It was so easy to drive and so surprising that it was a six-cylinder. And so many people are going to be happy with that because it's going to be the budget car, good on insurance, and they're going to be able to mod the heck out of it and individualize, personalize, and it's going to be just a kick-ass car.
They even used the term kick-ass in the focus group,
didn't
they? A couple of times. Or kick-ass or whatever. Anybody else want to talk about the V6 car that we drove that thoroughly impressed everybody?
My first Camaro was a V6.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of high school, college kids, because that's what I was, get into the V6. And this one is going to definitely have more power than you can imagine, so
yeah.
It is definitely going to be kick-ass.
It's real surprising. I can't get over it. Chris?
I guess my only reaction to the V6 is, oh boy, look out, rest of the world. That V6 is performing in another category. And let folks, the listeners, can draw their own conclusions from where we're heading with that.
Wow. Were any of these cars speed limited? I know when Jason and I first drove the Concept, it was speed limited to like 40 miles an hour to go around Black Lake.
Oh, there was no chance these cars were speed limited. When we pulled up on the shuttle bus, Al Oppenheiser, I think his name was, North American lead engineer for rear-wheel drive. He works for Doug Houlihan. And Tom, I didn't get his last name. He's one of the Milford engineers. They went screaming by the bus at breakneck speed, did a couple of turns around the lake. And you just don't realize how fast these cars are going, looking at 68 acres of pavement. But they were just flying. It was impressive.
Can you guys talk about what they sound like?
I was just in my mind. I tell you, when they went, basically the first flyby was with the cars going by there. They sounded awesome, And even Cheryl had made comments to us that they're still tuning the exhaust on the cars. I mean,
oh, okay.
And, you know, every time she keeps telling us, and we're listening to them and very impressed what we heard. And she says, don't worry, as we're still working on that. I mean, that was one of the things we see. We're looking at the cars impressed as can be. And they kept trying to reassure us, don't worry, guys. They said, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And it just, again, the emphasis that this team is putting on the car is incredible.
That kind of ties in with the attention to detail, again, because there's been a couple posts, two or three posts about with the pictures of the some of the team working on the exhaust sound, and they're still working on it. So I mean, it sounds good as it is, but it's gonna get even better.
Anything else, gang?
Well, they got some interesting challenges they need to before they're done. Some new things here that they're playing with that's in play for the first time on a high performance car. So. That's one. They're not quite there yet, but when it's all said and done, I folks aren't going to be disappointed. Let's put it that way.
Well, actually, it kind of brings me to an interesting point, because no car is perfect for everybody. We all know that. And there's a lot of people that want certain things that are going to be disappointed because either their expectations are way too high or it just isn't in the cards financially.
What, like a removable B-pillar?
Yeah, kind of like along those lines. But there's also some things that are legit that unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be able to make it, again, just because it wouldn't be exactly cost-effective because only X amount of people would want them. You know, the standard business rules would apply. But I guess this is going to be a tough one. But let's pass this one around. What's one thing we're disappointed in? And I'll start, and I might encompass everything right away, is that a lot of people are going to indeed want individualized, you know, I want this but not that. You know, no car company out there does it. Some car companies out there do it better than others. Ford is usually brought up with a Mustang. And that's the one thing that it doesn't necessarily bother me too much, but I know it's going to bother other folks. Is there anything out on the car that we saw that even if it's just a minor little thing that you kind of wish it would be that way, but it's not going to be, and that's not a big deal. Who wants to start?
Chris, I had one minor disappointment. I can't say what it is because it's too specific.
Okay,
but,
yeah, sure.
I mean, bottom line was, big picture, it was insignificant.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is a tough one to answer, I know, but I think that a lot of people are going to want to see both sides of the coin. That's the reason why I'm asking it.
Yeah, I can't really mention what I was going to say either, but again, it's an insignificant thing, really. It's no big deal.
Okay, good. That's cool. Selena?
There really wasn't a single thing that disappointed me. Everything we saw blew me away. And even, like, to mention what you were talking about with the options, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's always a contingent that wants stripper cars.
Yeah.
I was actually pleasantly surprised to see the way that they kind of broke things down and offered things together. I think that'll work really well.
Kevin?
Yeah, I think in a similar sense. I mean, I don't think we get into the real specifics of what... I mean, it was a couple things that I wasn't totally happy with, but I mean, we all go in there with a list of, you know, 10 or 15 things that we want to see, and all right, we get 11 or 12 of them, and there are real reasons why things are done certain ways, but like Selena just mentioned, I totally agree that they seem to have packaged this thing real, they got it right. I mean, there are a couple little tiny, you know, features that... You know, everybody's got a laundry list, you know, and I've got mine as well. And do we get all of them? You know, maybe not. But what we got, I'm very, very happy with it.
This is Terry here. I would have to echo what Selena and Kevin said without repeating all of that. If there are things that they get back as far as feedback from customers, maybe that's where changes will come along in the future and we'll see things evolve. And it does leave room for change. Maybe room for improvement? Don't know. Of course, we have to see the car evolve.
Of course.
We want to see some things that they still have up their sleeve, and I'm sure they do.
Cool. I know that wasn't easy, but I want to see both sides of the coin, you know, because people don't want to, we don't want to appear biased.
Can you talk about colors at all?
Red, black, silver.
Red, black, silver.
That's all we could say.
That's the ones we can talk about,
yeah,
right?
That was
right.
It. I mean, they're going to have a full palette, but exactly what they're going to be, we can't discuss right now. So,
you guys see the real headlights?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. We can say that.
I guess
you don't have to describe them. I just want to
let me frame it.
We're not gonna.
let me frame it this way. I mean we've all read the major issues with people's concerns on the forum, and GM got it right.
Good.
And you know, I'll leave it at that. Just about every major issue that's come up over the past 4 years.
Wait. You mean the headlights on the mules? They're not the real headlights?
They're not the real headlights. And wait. That's right. They got that right too.
You know, just to add on the option stuff, I mean, if you think about it, you know, it's amazing. I'm not going to be specific about one of the things that a lot of us sort of asked about, but it's amazing the sweating that they go through trying to, you know, to cut something out for whether it's a weight issue or to try to cut out of the thing or whether it's a dollar amount to keep the cost down, you know, down or keep things in the right perspective, but it's unbelievable how much they go through that. And just, I guess, even just talking about colors, and we can't get into the details of them, but I was surprised myself, to be quite honest, the variety of colors that they're going to put on the car. And
it's a full palette.
The other thing, what really surprised me is they had at least a half a dozen foils about GM accessories on things that they have planned for the car. I mean, that was. I mean, it's nice to see, and they even said that themselves, that it was nice to see that GM accessories got involved so early on. You know, basically, when the car hits the showrooms, they're going to be ready to have stuff available for it. I mean, it's, talk about personalizing your Camaro. I mean, it's definitely going
to
be.
Yeah, I think some of the listeners got a chance to see some of those spy photos that leaked.
Yeah,
out.
I was just going to say that there's those leaked pictures of the ground effects that had come out.
And we haven't even broached the subject of what aftermarket's going to do yet. This is just GM and what GM's doing in-house.
GM offering things with a warranty that are validated and tested to their specifications.
Right. So
that's the neat part. Yeah, right.
OE quality.
So, and what we've seen in those leaked pictures is only a fraction
Absolutely.
Of it. They're pretty serious about making sure that if they didn't make the car the way that if they can't make the car the way that we want to, we can make it the way we want to with their help, and so to speak. I mean, I'm pretty happy with the overall spectrum of how things are going to go. You know, we can't have the car exactly the way we wanted to, but we can get it damn close.
No, I mean, if you try to think within the realm of what's realistic in today's business world, which is a global market, safety issues. Obviously, we all know CAFE is a big issue. They did one heck of a job on this vehicle.
You hit safety right there. They talked a lot about safety. This is going to be one safe car. The fourth gen was actually a very, very safe vehicle. I think this is going to surpass that, and then some. It's going to meet and exceed those standards.
Just again, like to thank Chris and Jason for everything they've done for the enthusiast community. I mean, guys, you know, you started it all here on the internet, and it's been a long road, but you guys blazed the trail for us and a lot of other people, and podcast is great. Keep it up. Appreciate all the good work, and Chris, thanks for having us over today.
Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Tim?
Yeah, thanks, Chris and Jason, for having us here. Cool time. One more thing I'd like to say about the Camaro is they definitely got it right. They definitely have the right people working on the team. The team is extremely committed to doing this car the right way, and they've got it.
Selena?
Definitely thank you, Jason and Chris, for having us over here to do this. And a big thanks to GM for allowing us to do what we do and have an inside look. And it's an amazing car, and I just can't wait to buy me one.
Mm-hmm. And I can't believe, of all the people you guys are thanking, you didn't thank Scott Settlemyer. I mean, this guy is like, obviously everybody knows Scott. Hopefully everybody knows him, but he's not even really technically or involved with Camaro because it's not his job. But those people in GM know where he's from, and he's basically tied in pretty tightly with the whole thing.
The F. Bod father rules.
Yeah. The other thing is, who's going to talk about Lutz?
Well, you know,
Jason.
Well, Terry's got to give her last thoughts before I give mine, because, you know, I can be rather lengthy.
Well, I'd have to say it was pretty exciting coming down to the Camaro Z28.com studio. Driving in from Oregon in the regular road trips that we do to get to the national events. We've always wanted to make our way up here and say hi to you guys. This time I had to fly in, but oh well. It was on GM's nickel, and we certainly appreciate that. Their hospitality was top-notch, and the openness of the design team and the engineers and they made us feel so welcome. They listened to everything we said, whether it was positive or negative. They appreciated the feedback. They took notes. And they were never above us. They were always right there listening to everything we had to say. Open heart, open hands. And it's just great to be a part of it.
Come to Indy in September and join us at the CamaroZ28.com summit.
I got
to
start working on that. And Tim, you're going to kind of be there with your site and members too. We're going to kind of work together a little bit on that, right? That'll be great. It'll be great to have two good sites together.
I mean, by September it'll be good because we'll be able to talk more about this. And believe us, folks, the stories we heard just from them testing the car in Arizona.
In the Netherlands, everywhere.
Switzerland, France.
Way up north in the Arctic Canada area. Yeah. It was crazy. Well, I got to tell you, it was really an honor to have you all here. It's just really cool. We've never done this before because we don't have the technical equipment for it, and you know, with the microphone passing. But it's cool to have you here. We're glad you can make it because I don't think otherwise without Scott and Cheryl and John and all of the other kids involved in the project, you know, we couldn't have you here to do this with us. And so we do appreciate it. To go on out, we talked about Bob Lutz.
Maximum Bob.
He defined the word maximum because there we are driving the Iver cars. We're driving just damn near a production Camaro, and we're feeling on top of the world. We're out there on Black Lake. You know, we're the kings and queens of the planet. And then out of nowhere, a jet flies by over the Black Lake at probably about 80 to 150 feet thereabouts.
Treetops.
It was really low. Clipping by at a few hundred miles an hour and then does a few gentle, graceful barrel rolls. Well, that's Bob Lutz pretty much saying, you're nothing. I'm the man.
Right.
You might feel good now, but look what I can do. You think you can fly? I can fly.
74 years old. God bless you, Bob. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, this is great. And he does check in on the progress of that car often. It's on his mind a lot. Everybody's real serious about that. So I guess we better wrap it up. We said we're gonna be pretty long, and it's going to be an extra minute longer because I found something that I can't wait until next week. I want to give a nifty shout-out to my friend Jake Robb. Everybody knows I refer to him as the SOB. So at the end of the closing music, you'll find out what I got planned.
Son of a bitch bastard.
So thanks again, everybody.
Thanks, everybody,
and
for showing up here.
We'll be back to regular scheduled programming next week.
We'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to the CamaroZ28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to CamaroZ28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.
Open this damn door! Son of a bitch! Bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch!
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a
bitch. Son of a bitch! Ow! Son of a bitch! Son of a bitch!
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Oh, son of a... Oh! Son of a bitch! Ow! Son of a bitch!
He's the son of a bitch who shot me on the raft.
You see that too, the son of a bitch? What this son of a bitch is?
He's the son of a bitch. He's son of a bitch. That son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch!
Son of a bitch!